You're listening to The World's Talking with Dave O'Grady. Don't forget, if you have a story, an internet forum, a discussion you want to have, email theworldstalking@gmail.com. That's theworldstalking@gmail.com. Don't forget to click like on Facebook, like on Twitter, like on everything, and we'll chat to you then. You're very welcome along to Talking GAA with Dave O'Grady. The leagues are in full swing with some exciting talking points, particularly in Munster. It's really hotting up, it has to be said. You know, new managers, new teams and new players really standing out. I'm delighted to be joined by BeatFM's Stephen Long. Stephen, welcome to the show again.
Thanks very much for having me.
No problem, Stephen. I'm also joined by Cork GAA fan Graham Welton. Graham, it's great to have you back on the show. No doubt you were very much thrilled after that impressive win over Waterford.
Yeah, great buzz in Cork last Saturday night. Huge crowd there, almost 7,000 people, and a beautiful evening for a game of hurling. And, you know, a lot of people were travelling to the game that hadn't been to games in a while because, you know, Jimmy Barrymurphy was back in town, and he brings an aura and, you know, a respectability to proceedings. And a lot of people were going along to see what kind of a team he was putting out and what the style of hurling would be. A lot of talk whether the Barry Murphy would go back to basics, he'd go back to maybe a more natural Cork style of hurling, let the ball do the work rather than, you know, the short passing game that had been brought in under Donal Grady and Colin, kind of followed on by previous managers. But a huge buzz and, you know, an excellent crowd there for a Saturday night match under lights, you know.
Yeah, two goals from Paddy O'Sullivan, another from Cathal Nocton. I mean, Cork winning 3-8 to 7 points. I think they were ahead at the break. I mean, it just goes to show, you know, there was a little bit of ruthlessness there in the first half, particularly with the goals.
Yeah, when they got opportunities for goals, they went for them. The previous regime under Jimmy Barry Murphy, actually in 1999, I think they went all the way to the All-Ireland final without actually scoring a goal at all. But, you know, the chances came along and they ran at Waterford with pace. Waterford were missing a lot of players now as well, has to be said, particularly in the backs. And they went for their goals. There was no tapping it over the bar. Goals win matches.
Yeah, they sure do. And Stephen, you know, your own native Waterford or that, it must have been very frustrating, particularly when Waterford played quite well towards the end of the game. I think they outscored Cork by 7-2 in the third quarter and they really kind of closed the gap. But it was disappointing, I suppose, maybe too little too late.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about our back situation too much. I know Cork really did their homework on how they should beat us in that area. For some reason, we had Kevin Moran starting at centre-back with Brick Walsh at centre-forward. And because we were basically missing our entire full back line, and then Jamie Nagle and Declan Prendergast at wing-backs, when, you know, neither of them are up, you know, fully up to what they should be at this time of the year, you know, they really exploited Waterford along the sidelines and kind of played the ball past Kevin Moran and the rest of them. But I'm not worried too much about the backs. It's the forwards that are really starting to give me nightmares because we were behind for a good, you know, for most of the game, we're behind by 8-9 points. And if you're behind by that much, you need to start going for goals. And I don't think we even threatened Donal O'Cusack once. I think Shane Casey had a glimmer of a chance midway through the first half. But in the entire second half, Donal O'Cusack didn't have a single thing to do. And that's the most worrying thing. There's still a lot of good forwards there, like Paddy Matney and Shane Walsh obviously is known to get goals when he needs them too. So that's obviously going to need a lot of work. I'm assuming when John Milan comes back, that'll help things along. But it wasn't the best opener for league, that's what I thought.
Not at all, yeah. And Graham, on another positive point for Cork, you know, Conor Lehan, I think he was really a lightning man for Jimmy Barry Murphy. I think he hit something like 7 points from play.
Yeah, he's been talked up a lot over the last couple of years as the, I suppose, the great white hope of Cork hurling. I mean, he is an enormous talent. He is under 21 this year, under 21 again next year. He was on the panel last year under Dennis Walsh, didn't get a whole lot of game time. The lad was doing his leaving cert, and I think Dennis Walsh, in fairness, a lot of people were criticising Dennis Walsh at the match on Saturday night, saying why didn't he use him last year. But I mean, he was very raw last year, and you can see he's playing colleges hurling freshers with UCC, and he's bulked up a little bit, so he's an exciting prospect. And I'm sure Tommy Walsh above in Kilkenny is sharpening his axe to get a hold of him, maybe in the league, you know?
No doubt he's probably has the axe down at a blacksmith for sharpening almost, it's probably fair to say. But Graham, you know, just on the point about young players coming through for Cork, it's a bit of a relief, no doubt, for Cork fans, considering the point, you know, a lot of people down there would have been afraid that there hadn't been much youth coming through, but to see this, it's very refreshing.
Yeah, I suppose when Jimmy Ryan Murphy was manager in the previous time in 1989, he had a conveyor belt of talent coming up. He had minors and under-21s. He hasn't got it this time. They've been very unlucky in the under-21 grade in the last couple of years. They've been beaten in extra time in three or four matches. Last year they were beat by Limerick in the final. And, you know, on that under-21 team last year, I know there was two very promising, Aidan Walsh and Kieran Sheehan. They're both dual players, so they've considered... they're switching to football all the time now, so they won't be available to Jimmy Barry Murphy. But it's been a famine for Cork in minor level, and under-21 is just as long. So, you know, Jimmy Barry Murphy was making the point there on another radio station last weekend that he isn't too concerned about Cork winning at minor and under-21 level. He'd be more concerned that, you know, the selectors and the minors at that level are doing their job and bringing players forward onto him for him to look after, you know. You know, Galway would be the prime example of, you know, winning all around them at minor under-21 level in the last 20 years. But, you know, they have nothing got to show for it at a top table in terms of All-Irelands.
Stephen, that's a pretty good point that Graham made. You know, there can be that balance. You know, you have to get the balance right where, say, one county can be winning left, right and centre at minor under-21 and then nothing comes about it when they get to senior. Obviously, it's a big step up, but I guess it's important for a county to have a few emerging players, and particularly ones like the likes of Conor Lehan, you know, getting fast-tracked into the senior squad with, I think, 2 years left of under-21.
Yeah, well, you know, I think Galway and Limerick are just two prime examples of how underage success doesn't necessarily lead to senior success. But, you know, everyone said for years that, you know, when players like Kemmer Grant, Paul Flynn, when they retired, Warford would really be in deep trouble. But even though Warford have had better success at minor level in the last couple of years than they have done in, you know, the years gone by, it's still just been, you know, one or two players that have always been there to kind of keep it ticking over. Like when Paul Flynn left, he had guys like Owen Kelly, who was, you know, there for free taking. When Ken McGrath left, Brick Walsh slotted in as a perfect replacement at centre back. Then even with Owen Murphy, who was our number two for years and years, then you have Noel Connors coming in, who's going to be a cornerback for Waterford for the next 10 years. So I think as long as you have those one or two kind of players who know how to slot into a team and, you know, keep it ticking over, just like Conor Lehan, who again is going to be staying for Cork, and we're going to hear a lot about him for years and years. I think having individual players like that is more important than having a collective group of minor players who can do very well at that level, but no one that can really step up to the plate to senior level and be called upon as quickly as players like Matney or Connors or Lehan are needed to.
And just very briefly, Stephen, you know, for Waterford going forward now, what do you reckon they need to do in the league? Do they need to be more clinical in front of goal, or actually, in fact, go for goals?
Well, goals has been a major issue with this team for a number of years. Back in the Just McCarthy days, it was always goals where you had no problems getting. It was the rest of the team that had a bit of an issue. Goals is the major issue. But the problem is, because of this new league format, you know, Waterford absolutely must win the final match against Dublin, and possibly even have to snatch a win away to Galway or Tip to stay in the division. But a lot of people in Waterford weren't very happy with the kind of team that Michael Ryan decided to put out, because when you look at last Saturday, they had Seamus Prendergast and Declan Prendergast starting, both in their 30s. You've got guys like Jamie Nagle, who, you know, they're the kind of guys that don't really need to be playing league games that much. That's why under Davy Fitz, when Tony Brown and the older guys, they kind of did their own personal training regime around this time of the year and kind of let them build up to it. Michael Ryan's taken a bit of a different approach and kind of let them get as much game time as possible. But there's a lot of younger players who kind of need game time just as much, if not more. But the problem is, this is the league. You can't really get the opportunity to do as much testing under this new format. Last year, when you were guaranteed 7 Division 1 games, I think it was, there was always you were able to maneuver around a bit and kind of tinker with it. You can't do it as much this time. So Michael Ryan still has to get that balance of it, making sure that there's still Division 1 hurling there to be played for Waterford next year, but still making sure that there's guys who are getting the game time that they deserve.
Yeah, indeed. I think that's a very good point, and I think that'll go on and on, particularly as the counties seem to be, it's almost like they have to, they're working so hard to stay in the league that perhaps they can't give the younger players the chance, and that's what they need. They need something like the league to, so that they can have the experience when going into the championship. Lads, I want to stick with Munster in the league, lads, and coming to yourself, Graeme. Another league All-Munster clash was, of course, Limerick against Clare, and it really was a blitz for Davy Fitz, so to say. It's good to see Clare coming back and winning so emphatically, particularly Conor McGrath. He really is a terrific player. I think something like 110 or something on the night, and I think something like all of six Clare's starting forwards scored from play. It's good to see the banner back.
Yeah, they were very impressive, and very impressed too with Nicky O'Connor at midfield. A strange kind of game. Remember, got off to a decent start, and you know, looked very promising for a while, but they just faded totally out of the game. And you know, I questioned John Allen of Cork going up to Limerick to take them on, because I thought Donal O'Grady last year, you know, he got the very best out of Limerick, and you know, he came short. And you know, I don't think if Donal O'Grady can't do it, you know, a good chance no one else will do it. And you know, John Allen is on a hiding to nothing up there at the moment, and you know, it's a cutthroat league in that division now as well, because they're under pressure now to try and push on. And you know, you'd expect Clare now going to top the group there, and it's going to be between, you know, Offaly and Wexford and Antrim. I mean, there's a lot of big hitters down there as well. I mean, the leagues are very competitive this year. But, I mean, Davy Fitz is a very clever man. I mean, he stuck around with Waterford long enough, and, I mean, you know, Clare won another 21 there about 3 years ago, and all those players now in that Clare team are kind of, you know, they're coming to the boy, they're coming toward the right age, and, you know, Davy timed it very well to take the Clare job, you know.
Yeah, Stephen, you said to me on the show 2 weeks ago that Davy Fitz was the perfect guy for the job. It's like written in stone that he'd become the manager of Clare, and I guess it's great to see him have such an effect so early on.
Yeah, I'm genuinely worried about this team now. We're playing them in 4 months in the Munster Championship, and there's one side that's going up and one side that's going down. I had a friend of mine who was at that Clare Limerick game, and he basically said there is no chance in hell that Clare team have only been training since 1st of January. There's some players in that team who are miles ahead of not even Limerick guys, but Waterford and Cork guys in terms of fitness. They were obviously, you know, on their own little training gym regime in the off months, and that's typical Davy fashion as well. He was known to be doing that when he was with Waterford too. And you know, if there's one thing that Davy is going to get out of this team, is making sure that they are absolutely at peak physical condition. And you know, a 14-point win in Limerick's backyard, when you know you've still got a good manager like John Allen on board there, he's really done very well. I always knew that Davy Fitz would do well with Clare, and because he has that 3-year contract, I kind of thought, you know, give it a year or two and then they'll really start making inroads. I didn't expect it to happen this soon. Obviously, it's still very early days and stuff, but he's certainly making a big impression there.
Yeah, it certainly is, and Clare no doubt will be early favourites for promotion with that clinical display. Lads, I want to move west and look at Galway's win over league champions Dublin. And Stephen, you know, it's almost like Dublin kind of, we've seen their performances in the Welsh Cup, and now there was a couple of players getting their chance, but it wasn't really to be, and it seems like they're still tied back in last year almost. Galway looked very fresh, and I think Anthony Cunningham blooded 8 of the under-21s that he guided to glory last year, so it was a very good Galway performance.
Yeah, and another kind of new manager feel-good factor around the place up there as well. You know, a 7-point win from the looks of the highlights now, it seems fairly that was the right result to come out of, because Galway, you know, they're always, we've talked about this before, they are very much a league side. They always seem to take the league more seriously than others, and they will always going to be thereabouts. Because of the new league format, their first aim was to be to secure, make sure they're playing Division 1A next year, because they've got this win over Dublin and they play home to Waterford in 3 weeks, I think it is, or 4 weeks. You know, at least they know with 2 wins there, they're guaranteed to stay up. But they're definitely looking very well. Obviously, Anthony Cunningham's made a rake of changes up there. You know, you can't, I wouldn't be looking too much and say, oh, this is definitely going to be the year that Galway make really big inroads in championships. God knows how many years we've been saying that about them. But no, they're definitely looking good. And as for Dublin, obviously the Welsh Cup didn't really go as they had expected to. And I think last year, obviously as league champions, that really gave them the boost that they they obviously helps going into the into the championship, but you know, it was probably your right results in the end of the day, and I think with Galway at home, they were going to be the favourites for it too.
Yeah, Graham, just looking at the league, and we were talking about the new format there, and somehow I feel that this is going to be a very difficult year for Dublin to stay in the league. For what I'm just not sure. Maybe they have new players in there, but again, it's players that are currently playing a lot of hurling at the moment at all levels, really, and it might just be a bit too much, and a couple of the players could in fact suffer burnout or that kind of thing. I know the Dubs are training very early in the morning up in Bray and various grounds across Dublin and that.
Yeah, you know, Anthony Daly is a very passionate man, and I presume his training sessions would be very passionate, and he'd be, you know, he has been through the Jarlath Nan regime of really pulverising training sessions around this time of the year to be ready for August or September. Now, you wonder, Dublin were probably doing that as well last year, and you wonder, doing it the second year, is it going to hit people a little bit harder?
Yeah.
And, you know, you have to factor in, I suppose, a lot of people will be beginning to walk Dublin out now, and, you know, you see it in other sports as well, kind of a second season syndrome kicks in where maybe you're not as fast on your feet as you were last year, and maybe the hunger might be deepening just a small bit. But the five league matches is an absolute killer, because, you know, it's very little matches, and some one big hitter is going to be relegated, and, you know, at the end of the day, it could come down to how many points you're beaten by in a match, and it could come down to scoring averages, because, you know, you can see maybe two or three teams tied maybe on two or three points at the end of the campaign.
Yeah, and certainly are. And again, like Stephen was saying, Graham, with the likes of Dublin and perhaps we see the new changes at Galway, but for Dublin and a couple of the other teams, you know, it might be a case where they'll be so desperate to stay in the league that they'll be playing all the best players, and the young lads that are coming through that need the experience perhaps might not get the chance.
Well, I suppose it's a question of priorities. What does he want to do? Does he want to stay in the league, or does he want to try and maybe blood a few players for a championship? In Cork's situation, I presume they would want to, you know, try and blood a few as well. But I think Jimmy Murphy is in a situation where he wants to win matches to build up confidence. I mean, Cork play Dublin the next day out, and I think that'll be in Croke Park. And, you know, you learn a lot more by both sides in that, because I felt that, just getting back to Cork for a second, that matches in Parky Ring, it can be very deceptive to the eye in terms of how well players are playing, because the pitch is a lot smaller in Parky Ring, and you know, you could be in trouble in a cornerback position, and a man could get around you, but, you know, the fullback is out on top of you straight away because the pitch is so small. Whereas in Croke Park now, for the Cork hurlers the next day out, and for Dublin, you know, it's a big game for Dublin the next day, and they're going to be hitting a Cork side that are probably confidence high. If they were to lose that game, they'd be down to zero, they'd be in serious trouble to stay in the division.
It'll be very difficult, but we look forward to a few exciting league games there. Lads, just coming to yourself, Stephen, I want to look at the Kilkenny-Tipperary match. It was Kilkenny 217 to Tipperary's 15 points. TJ Reid was very impressive in this match. I think Kilkenny had run to a 110-8 point lead at half time. But looking at both teams, it just goes to show that they're taking the league pretty seriously.
As Kilkenny always do, yeah. They had 12 of their 15 All-Ireland winners from a few months ago starting this game, which goes to show when Kilkenny play Tipperary, they're not going, you know, they want to win it. They're not going to try blood young players. They, you know, it's all about winning the game. And at Nolan Park as well, I think they were heading into that game thinking we should be winning this with that kind of team that they have out, and rightly so. I mean, again, 8 point winners. They were, you know, pretty much ahead the entire game, apart from maybe one or two points at the start. You know, Kilkenny will always kind of be Kilkenny, especially around this time of the year. I think Tipperary have got quite a bit of harsh criticism since that match. They were, you know, in the papers today now, there's a lot of people saying, like, you know, they were kind of defeatist going into the game, that because of the whole Lark Corbett situation, they went into the game with their heads down, and they had 9 of the 15 from the All-Ireland stars, I think, which is still a pretty decent number for this time of the year. And then they had Owen Kelly coming on at halftime as well. But I wouldn't worry about Tipperary too much. The only thing I would take issue with is the whole long ball tactics, which worked wonderfully for them last year when they had Larry Corbett picking up the loose ball, and that's what made him so effective. But when you rain down high balls on top of players like JJ Delaney and Tommy Walsh, you're wondering what the hell are you doing to yourselves. Waterford have been guilty of that, about that in the past, and so have teams like Cork and Galway as well. It was a mistake from the start, and that it was a mistake in the All-Ireland final last year, and it was one of the main reasons why they did it. So you would have thought over the 4 or 5 months that they would have tried a new way of getting around them. And the next time Tipperary may not play Kilkenny again until if they meet them again in the championship. So it would have been at least a possible place to try out new things with them. So I was surprised that they went with that same tactic. But, you know, for the most part, Kilkenny were always going to be favourites and win that game.
Yeah, Graham, is there a style of play that actually would beat Kilkenny? I mean, we've seen in last year's league final, Dublin had a stormer of a game and defeated them. And of course, Dublin had drawn actually with them earlier in the league in Croke Park. But I guess when you're up against it, it's always going to be very hard. And as Stephen was saying, you know, that long ball tactic that Tipperary tried to employ, you know, it's not much good when you have players of the calibre of Tommy Walsh and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I suppose the way to beat Kilkenny is, if you can beat them, is to keep the ball moving fast and keep it moving maybe low. But I mean, Tipperary's problem as well was that Kilkenny were pucking the ball out, and I don't know how many puckouts they were to Kilkenny won in their half-hour lane. TJ Reid was unbelievable. And I mean, you can't allow Kilkenny win clean possession for puckouts. You need to try and break the ball and try and pick up the scraps. But, you know, Tipperary seemed to be well off the pace there, and Stephen made the point there about, you know, he thinks that the Clare Hurlers were training well before the start of January. Well, you know, Kilkenny looked to me as if they were doing it as well, because their hurling was absolutely red, raw, sharp yesterday. I mean, some of the passing and some of the striking and the team play and the movement. I mean, you know, for a team that won the All-Ireland final, you wonder, is he going for another?
Yeah.
Winning 3 or 4 in a row or something, because they looked absolutely awesome, sharp. And one player that really caught me on yesterday was Owen Larkin. I mean, he was really in the game. And, we begin to wonder now about Tipperary. I mean, they fought so hard to win an All-Ireland against Kilkenny 2 years ago. And you wonder, is the wheels coming off the wagon a little bit? I know it's very early in the season, but you would expect Tipperary to put up more of a fight than what they did yesterday. And, you know, there'll be question marks. There'll be about the management and what happened with Lara Corbett, and all this thing will be resurfacing now again if they don't start getting results. And, you know, Declan Ryan maybe could be under a little bit of pressure there, because, you know, they're hungry for success in Tipperary, and they feel with the talent that they have coming up the recent years, this team maybe should be doing a little bit more than what they're doing, you know.
Yeah, well, I suppose it's a little bit better for Tipperary that this kind of thing that's going on, particularly the Lara Corbett, it's happening now rather than further on, say, towards the end of the league, start of championship, because that would probably really derail them. At least they can kind of work on things now. Lads, before we finish our hurling section, Stephen, I want to come to yourself on Antrim's win over Wexford. Now, you know, it was a 3-18 to 2-15 win. I didn't see the game, but it's quite encouraging for Antrim to be getting a result like that in the Division 1B of the league, you know, and their new manager, Jerry Wallace, he'll be encouraged by that.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that obviously home advantage helped Antrim with this one. But I think Liam Dunn, you know, he had said some things about, he made some comment a couple of months ago about how there's some players on this Wexford side who need to move on. And it was kind of like a you know who you are kind of statement. So he obviously put down his marker very early with this Wexford team. And I kind of expected to see the fruits of that already. You know, again, another case of, you know, I know Antrim have their new manager, but Wexford would be hoping that things would improve after when they were with Colin Bonner the last couple of years. I mean, they really hadn't achieved very much under him. So I kind of would have thought that Wexford would kind of kick on a bit. But obviously, Liam Dunn had a great success with Out at the Bala. But no, it was obviously a very encouraging win for Antrim. And because of how competitive, you know, we speak about how competitive 1A is going to be, Division 1B is going to be just as competitive when you've got teams like Clare and Limerick in there too.
Yeah.
And obviously with Antrim getting a 6-point win over a team, you know, I want to say as good as Wexford, I mean, compared to some of the other teams they could be facing. I mean, Antrim will go into those games against Clare and Limerick and, you know, quietly confident that they could, you know, do just as well.
Lovely hurling, lads. Well, that's the hurling section wrapped up. We'll be back with football after the break. I want to thank Stephen for joining us on that. Thanks, Stephen.
Thanks a lot.
You're listening to The World's Talking with Dave O'Grady. Don't forget, if you have a story, an internet forum, a discussion you want to have, email theworldstalking@gmail.com. That's theworldstalking@gmail.com. Don't forget to click like on Facebook, like on Twitter, like on everything, and we'll chat to you then. You're very welcome back to Talking GAA with Dave O'Grady. It's time to talk football now, and we're delighted to be joined by Owen O'Shea, a Kerry football fan. Owen, you're very welcome to the programme.
How are you getting on, Dave?
Not too bad at all, not too bad at all. Let's actually start, Owen, by talking about Kerry. They go to Newry to take on Down. Now, it's a pity we don't have Damien on the show this week, because no doubt he'd have a few things to say, particularly about that Armagh win or that. But how do you guys feel going all the way up there? How do you think you're going to be undone by another Northern team, or will you guys have got your act together and hopefully get a win? What do you think?
Yeah, Down are going to be tricky. It's a long journey for the Kerry team, and Down will be really up for a scalp. Kerry had, they played poor against Armagh. Armagh really came down with a purpose and took the points. But Kerry played Kildare last weekend in a friendly and looked very sharp in it. And I think we'll be going up there really looking to get our league campaign back on track. And I'd expect 2 points. A great start. They were beaten, they beat Donegal in the first game, but they were beaten comprehensively, blowing Parky Rin. So It'll be a big game for both sides, but I'd expect Kerry, maybe with the Dr. Crokes contingent back as well, just to sneak the 2 points.
Yeah, Graham, looking at this clash, I mean, Down, Cork, you've seen your own Cork, they defeated Down pretty handy, they looked in good nick, but do you think Down now with the home advantage and Kerry taking the long journey that maybe perhaps Down will offer a little bit more to what they did down in Cork that time?
No, I think that's the banker bet of the weekend, Kerry to beat Down. I was very disappointed with Down against Cork. They threw in the towel midway through the second half. Cork were well on top. Very, very poor. Negative tactics again. Even at the start of the game, they kind of revert to sometimes playing four forwards. And I mean, you rarely see Kerry lose two matches on the bounce. And I think this is the nap of the weekend. If you're a betting man, I can't see Kerry losing to Down. Not up there, you know. The journey would be tough, all right. But you know, I think Jack O'Connor made a point that some of the Kerry lads maybe had thought that the Armagh game would be a banker, and maybe they eased off a little bit. But I can't see Jack O'Connor letting the Kerry lads treat Down with anything other than a Kerry victory, and I think that's a certainty that Kerry will beat Down next weekend.
Indeed, Graham. And speaking of negative tactics, your own county are up in Ballybuffet taking on Donegal in the league at the weekend. How do you see Cork's performance? They're obviously on a bit of a high at the moment, or that. I mean, they seem to have a really good brand of football that they're playing as well, mixed in with the physical nature. It's going to be an interesting game, considering the way Donegal have been playing.
Yeah, and there's a bit of trouble going on behind the scenes in Cork regarding that they're brought in to explain their activities in the Armagh game, in the first game, and there was a suspension wheeled out and a fine wheeled out, and Cork appealed it, and unfortunately now they're after losing home advantage to one of their league games. The home game that they had against Laois has been awarded to Laois. In terms of Laois will have home advantage, and that's a very sore subject in Cork at the moment, so I think there'll be a bit of extra motivation in Conor Coonan's lecture and speech and everything. But it is a savage journey for Cork. It's probably the longest journey any county could probably do in this country, Cork to Donegal, and I think it's on Ballybuffet, and you'd be talking 8 hours probably. I don't know, they'd probably maybe go up the Saturday, maybe stop somewhere halfway and take the rest of the journey into Sunday morning. But it's never easy up in Donegal. I saw them against Laois, they were very poor against Laois, but the goals kind of flattered them towards the end. But I think McGuinness is probably under a slight bit of pressure there as well, in that they've lost their first game, and all the talk is about Kevin Cassidy and should he be allowed back on the panel, and it would be a very good scalp for Cork to win in Donegal.
Indeed. Owen, is there a mental issue with Donegal at the moment? Do they need to have time to get to the right place mentally? I mean, as Graham was saying a bit about the Kevin Cassidy thing, what does Jim McGuinness have to do to his men to get them in that right place?
I think McGuinness has to sit down with the lads and kind of stop making a big deal about the negative tactics and such and such. McGuinness used it to great effect last year. It was everyone against Donegal, the world against Donegal. And we've seen after the first Ulster Championship game against Antrim, Pat Spillane came out with some choice words, and McGuinness really used that, and they had a united front. But I think they've lost every game they've played this year. They were beaten in every game in the McKenna Cup. They were beaten above in their own patch by Laois, their relegation rivals. I think they're staring to go back to Division 2. And just another thing that Graham was saying about Cork losing home advantage, I think that's very unfair. Maybe a neutral venue would have been fair, because Laois are getting an advantage now, which means Laois are getting an advantage over Down and Donegal for that relegation battle. But I think Donegal, they need to get out of this psyche, they need to go out, they need to play a bit of football and see how it goes, and kind of throw the shackles off a little bit and maybe go back to their refined tactics for the summer. But they're having a really bad start to 2012 so far.
They sure are. Well, maybe they will remove the shackles. It remains to be seen. Graham, Laois Dublin. I guess it's kind of hard to judge what kind of Dublin team are going to perform in Port Laois at the weekend. Of course, a lot of people would be saying that the Dubs are still having this somewhat All-Ireland winners hangover, you know, in the Kerry match. Obviously, they were fogged out up against Mayo. You know, it's kind of hard to judge where Dublin are at the minute.
Yeah, I suppose they have no points from two matches, or one match anyway, so they need to start winning, and they have a game coming up, I think, the following weekend against Armagh in Dublin, in Croke Park. So, you know, if Dublin want to make the qualifying, they'll have to start winning. I was impressed by Laois against Donegal. You know, they played direct football, a couple of big men up in their forward line, and I think they've converted one of their midfielders to a full forward position. Yeah. So, be no pushover down there, and, you know, Laois will be well off to take on the All-Ireland champions in Port Laois, and, you know, Dublin could find it hard there, but you'd expect Dublin now to push on and maybe, you know, have to start winning a few matches. But they won't find it tough down there, because, you know, that is a local derby of sorts, and you know, it's a long time, I'd say, when Dublin travelled to Port Laois as All-Ireland champions, you know.
Yeah. Oh, and a quick point on Laois there that Graham mentioned. You know, we spoke about it a couple of weeks ago on the programme, which was this converting midfield players or players further down the field to forwards. And I think it was suggested here that they don't actually have the quality of natural forwards, that they've actually been reliant on, you know, they've had to rely on their, say, their big name players getting moved out of position. Is that a problem for Laois, do you think?
Well, it must be nice that we know at least Justin McNulty is listening to us, because I slated Patrick Clancy and Cullen Begley a couple of weeks ago, and they came out with really man-of-the-match performances against Donegal. I thought Clancy was outstanding against Donegal, really, really used his strength and position, and didn't always look for the score himself, played it off. And Dublin, they'll go down there, as Graham said, local derby. There'll be a partisan crowd. There'll be a huge crowd in Port Laois, with a lot of Dubs living in the area also. And I think Dublin might find it hard there under the lights. Laois will probably treat this as a huge game for them. Dublin might kind of not be expecting much from Laois, but you'd probably expect Dublin, they'll probably have the Brogans back in the starting 15, you'd probably expect them to squeeze through and start their league campaign off.
And Owen, just one beef that it was raised to me there a couple of weeks ago regarding this Laois v Dublin, the Battle of the Blues, as they say. Now, I seen a couple of years ago in the Hurling Championship where Dublin played Laois in Port Laois, and the Laois team wore the away jersey. And I think it happened once before in football in a league game a good few years ago, where I think the Dubs wore their white, say, away jersey. But in recent times, they've gone blue against blue. Do you think that the GAA and perhaps the Leinster Council or whoever makes the decisions on, you know, colour clashes and that kind of thing, do you think they should step in here and have a change of jerseys? Does it look a bit unprofessional, two teams with the same colours going at each other? You wouldn't see that in very many other sports.
Yeah, I think there probably should be a change. I've seen Kerry and Limerick had it for years, the green, and that was very similar. And I just wonder that a player, if he's receiving a ball and he sees a green jersey over the corner of his eye or a blue jersey, is it that distinctive that he might give a pass? And plus, for people who are watching matches with impaired vision and stuff, maybe it should be. Look, all the teams have the change kits. Like, in fairness, how many times are you going to see Dublin in a away kit? Like, let them wear it. Anyway, the home team usually does change in the GAA, but you know, they should change the kits, because they don't get to wear them that often, and you know, it makes it easier. It makes it easier just as a spectacle, really.
Indeed it does, and it would do wonders for jersey sales as well, say if Dublin were to appear in their white away kit or that, you know, it's probably fair to say. And, you know, you mentioned Kerry Limerick and all. I mean, that's very obvious, and I think I've seen Wexford play Clare in the past and things like that. And Graham, would you go along with that, that, you know, the GA should be stepping up and actually making teams differentiate themselves from each other?
Absolutely. Cork and Galway, that was another one that comes to mind, and that used to be an absolute killer years ago when in the days of black and white television in the 70s or the 60s, you couldn't make out who was playing, and I think Cork the odd time had to wear white. But, you know, as you said, they made a very good point there about the away jersey. I mean, if Dublin were to, you know, advertise that they were wearing that strip maybe Tuesday or Wednesday of this week, you can be sure there'd be an extra few of them sold inside in Ireland and inside in Croke Park. I mean, there's been some absolute gems. I mean, Donegal and Mayo is another one that springs to mind. And, you know, some of the away strips then that have been worn by counties have been some... Mayo had a history of some awful jerseys altogether, some tomato red jerseys and everything.
I remember, Graham, years ago, being at a qualifier. I think it was the final round of the qualifiers in Croke Park. And Donegal, I think, were taking on... They might have been taking on Mead, but one of the teams wore a Ulster yellow jersey. You know, the other team wore their away jerseys. Like, could they not have just perhaps flipped a coin, then both teams wearing two awful away jerseys? You know, it would have worked out better, you know?
Yeah, well, that's been common practice in the GAA for a long time. I mean, Kerry played awfully in the 80s. You know, both counties were evolved to Kerry. It was always about the blue of Munster, you know? And, you know, I don't think it was very lucky for them. But, you know, there's been some real awful jerseys. I mean, Mead have an away jersey as well. You know, real awful looking thing. And a couple of counties then, you don't know what colours they're wearing. Derry are a pure example of that. You know, one week Derry seems to be wearing the red and white stripe. And the following week then they seem to be wearing the white with the red. You know, and a couple of counties then have kind of changed their style over the years. Donegal, I know, when I used to follow football in the 80s, Donegal had a strip very similar to Kerry, but they seem to have gone around the block a bit. The only county that seems to be consistent with the one colour all the time, in fairness to them, is Kildare. It's just pure white jersey, and they don't seem to be, you know, much of a change in it, and they haven't really kind of brought in the soccer style of kind of maybe the Real Madrid kind of thing of maybe trying to change it around. They've just gone for the one jersey all the time, you know.
Yeah, well, I'll never forget the old Adidas Kerry jersey a couple of years ago. It was pretty good. Lads, before we go, just a quick mention on Armagh Mayo Athletic Grounds. Owen, Armagh are on a high. The whole county of Armagh is on a high in the sense that the county team is playing well, and of course the Cross Glen lads are doing very well. They'll be going into this game. Mayo, again, in a similar situation to Dublin. It's hard to gauge where they are at the moment. They were fogged out in that league clash. But a home win, do you reckon?
Well, James Horne came out at the start of the league and said the league was their big priority this year. And they won a national trophy. Mayo have been the nearly men. But going up, they're being without a game. Armagh flying. They've got some beautiful young footballers there at the moment. And I think probably home advantage will probably swing it for them. Plus, Billy Joe Padden will have all Mayo's secrets for them, for their own boys.
Yeah.
So I'll go with Armagh to win there.
Okay, interesting stuff altogether. And just on a final point, Graham, we've seen Ulster won the interprovincial football final there last weekend. It was a Neil McGee goal, helped see off Munster at the Athletic Grounds. What did you make of these Interpro games? Were they good spectacles? I'm not too sure.
Yeah, 3,000 almost in Ulster to watch that game in Armagh. Good effort by Munster, considering, you know, a good few players came in from Limerick and Clare to boost up the Limerick team. And good to see Gary Herney of Waterford get a run too. Very interesting thing that I saw on the RT Sport was the, you know, the camera inside the dressing room before the game where Gerard Sullivan was giving the speech before the team went out to play. I think it was Leinster they beat in the semi-final. But, you know, you wonder, is it coming to the end of its run? I mean, we've had many a debate over what should be done and what's going to happen in the future. And you hear Christy Cooney being very downbeat about it. He doesn't seem to want it at all. And the next up-and-coming president of GAA, I think, is kind of slightly in favour of it. But, you know, I think it's the wrong time of year, really. Maybe they should try and play it off maybe in the summertime or something. But you know, I suppose they were running into players being available for clubs and so many club competitions now. But, you know, a good win for Ulster, I suppose, and home advantage probably won it for them. And, you know, it's difficult to know where it's going to go. The hurling final, or the hurling final, will be on soon, and I watched the semi-final in that last week, and Munster played Leinster, and a small enough crowd at Nolan Park to watch that one. So, you know, if the crowds aren't going, it's not going to last much longer, and, you know, it's probably an expensive GA maybe trying to get rid of, you know?
Yeah, indeed. I'd like to see something like, say, Kerry team against Ulster or something like that. They could certainly mix it up. Well, lads, I'm afraid we're out of time here on Talking GAA. My thanks to Stephen Long of Beat FM, Graham Welton, our Cork GAA fan, and Owen O'Shea, our Kerry fan. Lads, thanks a million. You've been absolutely terrific. I look forward to the pleasure of your company next week.
Yep. Good night. Good night, team.